This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, football fans.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you ready?
Live from the NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, co-host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, Jamie Erdahl. Coming up, ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, Green Bay Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, former Texas Longhorns wide receiver Matthew Golden, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, CBS NFL analyst Charles Davis, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Can confirm. Hour two of our first day of a three-day residency here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, live on the air here on the Roku Sports Channel, the Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 375, and Odyssey. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the home team here at the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay, is going to be joining us. But joining us right now is my longtime buddy, my Michigan man, my friend for the last 30 damn years. Good to see you, Adam Schefter, of the Worldwide Leader.
Gentlemen,
good to see you, man.
Week.
Good to see you,
Adam,
sir.
Adam, what's up, man?
What's up, bro?
Well, there's only one way to start this conversation. Is the first time we worked together in Green Bay, Wisconsin. You remember? You know what it is. Thursday night football. Somebody's
That's right. That was that. Yeah, right.
In Lambeau Field.
Birthday. So that would have been 18 years ago.
18 years ago. This man goes on NFL Network and says he learns that Art Schell is not back as the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, no matter what happens the rest of the season. And what happened next, Adam Schefter, in Lambeau Field?
Al Davis released what might be the greatest press release from an owner in NFL history. Am I wrong about that, Rich?
All caps.
All caps. Adam Schefter is a false rumor mongerer.
Mongerer, everybody. That was the night.
He does not know what's going to happen with Art Schell, and he covered the Denver Broncos. And we could look up the release and read it because it's
an instant classic. That should be in Canton. You're correct. That should be in Canton, Ohio. As dictated, but it wasn't signed by him. It was a statement from the team, but it was clearly dictated and read by a very angry Al Davis. And who was fired by the end of the season, Adam Schefter? Who
got Art Schell got fired right after the season.
Gentlemen.
I'm reading this right now.
Oh, you
read?
You have it? By the way.
You really have it?
I have it. Adam Schefter has always been a false rumor mongerer.
Yep.
With respect to the Raiders and anti-Raider bias based upon his relationship with Denver and Mike Shanahan.
Okay, that's right. That's
no decisions
right.
have been made relative to the 07 Oakland Raiders, nor will they be made for some time. Adam Schefter could not have gotten his information from a reliable source because there's only one reliable source, and he doesn't trust Adam.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Is that, honestly.
A badge.
I ask you, has there ever been an owner that's released a statement that's better than that one?
All caps as well.
All caps.
It was like he screamed it out from his office.
Do you think he made Amy like?
No, Amy. I guarantee you. I don't know if I've spoken to Amy about this. I think I have. You know she told him don't do it.
Correct. She said that many times. The great Amy Trask.
Who should be in the hall as well. She absolutely told him, what are you doing? And apparently he didn't care. And that earned you a trip to Oakland on your birthday itself, right?
Yeah, so what happened was it was here on a Thursday night game.
Saturday night
was the Packers and Vikings here on a Thursday night, if I remember correctly.
Yes, it was, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I was going to turn 40. I had just gotten, or I was about to get engaged.
Yes.
Our boss said to me I didn't have to go on to Oakland from here because I was living in New York. I could go back home to New York, not have to go across the country for a Saturday night game that was meaningless. And as soon as that statement came out, then he said, I hate to tell you.
You got
to
go.
We need you in Oakland. I'm like, if I had known that, I would have sat on that story another week.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the dumbest stories I ever released.
Dude, it was amazing and obviously great times back in the day with us and Dion and Mooch and Marshall and you. And, you know, I've got
Dion's on the plane right now.
Dion,
on the plane right now.
Where's he going?
Must be going back.
But to Dallas, Texas. Right? He's on a plane right now.
To Texas.
Where's this kid winding up?
Adam. Question of the draft.
That is the question of the draft. You think?
Do you trust me, Rich?
Of course.
Unlike Al?
Of course. Implicitly, Adam. And you know the question. You know the question has the answer of course I do. Where do you think he winds up?
If I had to bet a dollar today.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready.
He's there. Well, what are the odds on it, right? Like, you go to ESPN bet and place the dollar bet right now.
Okay.
He's the favorite to go to Pittsburgh.
That's where I would bet him.
Yeah.
That's where I would bet him.
21st right overall.
That's where I would bet him right now.
Okay.
But look.
Of course.
I mean, that's the great part about the draft is you think you might know, and nothing is ever absolute, and things change. So, you know, people have to understand that, and I think they do. But I would say today.
Yes.
In my mind, Mike Tomlin likes Shedeur Sanders. I don't think the Giants are going to take him at 3, but I'm not ruling it out. I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't think the Saints will take him at 9.
What gives you that impression?
Just a lot of people don't believe that the Saints are interested in him.
Okay.
So if the Giants don't take him at 3 and the Saints don't take him at 9, can't really find a team from 9 to 21, although someone could always trade up if they want him that much. Although, again, we've seen how polarizing he is, so it's hard to imagine who's trading up in this draft where there's been no trades up so far to go get a quarterback in a draft class that evaluators have been picking apart. So my guess is he would sit on the board till 21. And that's where it's going to be interesting because I think they're going to sit there on a Steelers team that has got a lot of needs, mm-hmm. that still hopes to add Aaron Rodgers in time. And you say, are we better off with, I'll give you some names, Kenneth Grant from Michigan, plugging our run defense.
Yes.
Travion Henderson, adding to our running game with Jaylen Warren, or Shedeur Sanders, who may not play for us this year. And it was in this spot where we almost took Kenny Pickett. Is this what we want to do for a team that we think can win now? And I think there's going to be that discussion within the organization. Now, ultimately, I do think that Mike Tomlin is a Shedeur Sanders fan. And if he's a fan, my guess is that the owner might sign off on that at that point in time, and they might be Shedeur. Doesn't mean they will be, but I can see that happening.
Sure. And obviously, as you know, and I don't think I'm telling any tales out of school, I think Dion would be particularly pleased about that sort of notion. Obviously, he loves Mike Tomlin. And getting him in that spot and, you know, Shedeur versus Lamar twice a year versus Joe Burrow twice a year and, you know, sitting behind one would think Aaron Rodgers for a year. What's the general sense right now in Pittsburgh? Just wait it out and Rodgers will have whatever he's waiting on his personal life to sort out? Is that
they're willing to be patient, and I think the feeling still is that ultimately he's going to go to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
But again, with him, who knows?
Right? Exactly.
But I think that they feel like eventually he'll come around, eventually he'll wind up in Pittsburgh. But it still may be a little while before we hear from him.
What do you think? This summer?
Well, that'll be the next season.
You really think so? I mean, I know you're throwing, really, you think it could be training camp or something?
Like I don't know that long, but it could go a little bit.
Okay.
It could go a little bit. Did he sound last week on Pat McAfee like a guy who was close to making this? No, he did not.
He did not whatsoever. Adam Schefter here on the Rich Eisen Show before he heads off back to the family of networks of Disney to get ready for the Thursday night coverage as well as Friday and Saturday of the NFL draft. Your best guess for the first surprise of the draft, if you could peg it, crystal ball it.
Well,
what do you think?
You know, on Monday I do this column. I've done it the last few years, like draft intel. And I felt like on Monday I said, I don't think Mason Graham is going number five like everybody's pegged him to go for weeks now. Like, everybody had Mason Graham going to the Jaguars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that would qualify as a surprise that no longer would be a surprise. So now you're asking for the next surprise.
Okay.
The next surprise. I think we need a lot of them in the top 10 because there's no real consensus on these guys, and there seems to be mixed opinions on all of them, and the player from 10 to 32 seems to be similar. I think the Bears would love to get their hands on an offensive weapon. I don't know if one of them will be there. It might be contingent upon whether the Jets take Tyler Warren or Membu, the tackle from
right.
Missouri.
So it basically is going to be a night where everybody's holding their powder on making a trade until what? The fifth overall pick is named, and then it's on?
Like, I know my colleague, yes. Rich, Peter Schrager.
Yes. he's really our colleague.
Okay.
Adam. He's on TV.
I know our colleague, Peter Schrager, yesterday.
He followed the Schefter plan, yeah. is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Okay. He followed the path from Culver City, formerly Culver City, back east.
Sure.
He said that the Browns at 2 and the Giants at 3 are fielding calls from teams trading up. What I would say
yes.
is that the Browns have fielded more calls from teams in front of them in the first round saying, do you want to come up to come get your quarterback?
Meaning in front of them with their second round pick.
Correct.
Because obviously you'd be Correct. Referring to Tennessee if you're other way around. So because they have the 33rd overall pick.
They have the opening pick on Friday night.
And they're basically like, hey, we know you're not taking your quarterback
so
second
all
overall.
So teams that want to move back?
Yeah.
A group of them have called the Browns to say, hey.
That's the calls they're fielding. Not on two, but more
well,
on.
No, I think they're fielding calls on two to a certain extent. But of the two scenarios, yes. what's more likely? Them trading back from two?
Yes.
Or trading up from 33? Probably neither. But if I was to say one, they're more likely to trade up from 33 than they are to trade out of two.
So who's the quarterback most likely to be traded up for at the end of the first round on Thursday night? What do you think there? That's another mystery to be talked about in this.
I've had this conversation with various quarterback needy teams in this draft.
Yes, sir.
And they're not going to tell you their boards. You're not going to know that they value Tyler Shuck over Jackson Dart or Shador over Jalen Milroe or Jalen Milroe over Jackson Dart. Like, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great part about the draft because it's the moment of truth and we get to see these teams put their cards on the table. Oh, mm-hmm. so they traded up for this guy.
Right.
Now, I could tell you there seems to be a lot of sentiment out there, right or wrong, that the Saints love Jackson Dart. There's a belief amongst teams that the Saints love him. The Giants have an awful lot of ties with all their Ole Miss ties mm-hmm. to Jackson Dart. Tyler Shuck, in the eyes of some, they think that he could potentially be the best quarterback in this draft class. Jalen Milroe's got this great upside that you need to harness. But I don't know how the Browns and the Giants and the Saints mm-hmm. have them ranked.
So
no, I don't think anybody does. By the way, you're like, you know, the Giants don't know where the Browns are and the Saints are. Like I said, everybody thinks the Saints are on Dart. Giants, maybe Shador and Dart with some Milroe love. Browns, don't know.
So do the Saints love Dart ninth overall love?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think they love him like that. But the Saints typically have been a very aggressive team in going up to get who they want.
Mm-hmm.
So if and when they don't pick a quarterback at 9, and by the way,
yes,
that may be the surprise. On Thursday night, we're sitting there. And with the 9th overall pick, the New Orleans Saints select Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart. Like,
that'd be something.
But you could see it.
But it's more likely that we see multiple tight ends and running backs chosen
yes.
before the second quarterback's taken overall.
That's what I think.
Right?
That's exactly what I think.
Multiple corners taken before that. Absolutely multiple offensive tackles and defensive edge rushers. That's
yes,
for sure.
Yes,
right? Like
corners,
that.
There's some mixed opinions on the corners.
Why? Because our guy Will Johnson got hurt last year? Is that what it is? Because that guy was top five when we were winning it all, you and I, okay? Because we were factors.
Yeah, no, he was a top five pick a year ago.
No doubt. For
and
Team 144.
Came back and has been kind of raked over the coal. Like, I love the kid. Great kid.
Sure.
Great player. I don't think he's going to go in top five in this draft. I don't think he'll be a top 10 pick in this draft.
Right. Okay.
You guys talk about the Saints. Mickey Loomis is speaking right now.
Yep.
Acknowledge that Derek Carr has a shoulder injury, and they hope to have clarity on the situation soon. There was a bunch of follow-up questions. He said, I'm done answering questions about Derek.
There's a lot more questions than there are answers. There's a lot of speculation floating around out there about that.
Meaning?
That look.
Speculation about what? That he's going to play this year or he's not going to play? Or
whether he is or isn't going to play this year. Whether he does or doesn't want to play this year. Whether he does or doesn't want to be in New Orleans. The extent of his injury.
Which is why I don't want to talk about that, is being said by
Mickey Loomis.
Mickey Loomis right now. Before I let you go, Kirk Cousins, how does he loom over these proceedings in your estimation? If at all.
You know, the Falcons continue to say they're going to be holding on to him. And they might. They're going to want some teams to pay some of that money. How much, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I know Cleveland's been floated. I personally don't think that that's a likely destination. I don't think the Browns could afford to bring on that contract unless the Falcons were paying down the whole thing, which I don't think that they'd be willing to do. Kirk's got the no-trade clause, so he's got to be okay going somewhere. I don't know what Pittsburgh's going to do. Minnesota seems to me like it would be logical in the end if they're going to move him now. But Atlanta is prepared to just sit on the guy and wait until something else materializes. So
to go back to Minnesota with J.J. McCarthy coming back, you could see that. Because it seems like it's J.J.'s gig right now, no?
It is, but they also need another quarterback. And they don't have that number two right now. So, again, I think Kirk would like to go play.
Yes.
But if he couldn't play, you think he'd be okay being back in Minnesota?
Of course. I mean,
moreover,
I guess. But
Atlanta.
To me, I'd want to get to Pittsburgh. That's where I'd want to get if I was him. If Rodgers is still sitting and looking at the Pacific Ocean.
I think Kirk wants to see how this draft goes. If they take Shador, he's not going to want to go to Pittsburgh. Okay, that's going to be out.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's J.J. in Minnesota. Why would he want to go there and back up a guy that
because,
the clear heir apparent?
You're going to be a backup. Well, Shador, I guess maybe you could wind up starting right away.
You never know, man.
But I think he doesn't want to have a draft come and go with him having made a decision beforehand,
yes,
like last year.
Okay.
I think he wants to see how this unfolds and then look at all his hands and his options and say, okay, this is more interesting than that, or that's more interesting than this, and then make a decision. By the way, Atlanta's still got to be willing to move off him, which they've been very careful about that so far.
Adam Schefter, thank you for coming on here, man. Back here in Wisconsin, where the Mongerer was born. And oh, by the way, one of the last times that we were on the road at the Super Bowl, Mongerer was my choice of word for O's the Mentalist to guest, and there it is. He guessed it right on the spot.
Saw that.
There
and,
he is.
And by the way, like, I've never discussed that with him ever.
He guessed TJ's pin code on his phone, and TJ packed up and left the set.
I was out.
He thought he was a warlock.
I was gone. He's like a demon. How
you know the O's backstory? Do his time or no time?
What do you got?
Well, he was at my brother-in-law's holiday party like 15 years ago. My wife saw him. She had him come to my son's birthday parties. He did my like 50th birthday. He did my son's bar mitzvah back in the day.
Okay.
Did my daughter's when he was at my daughter's bar mitzvah. The ESPN executives, they were like, we got to get this guy around football teams. So I booked him a few years back.
You got him on there, huh? You got him on with these football teams? Adam Schefter.
Are you managing him?
So it's your fault.
It's not fault. Thank you. It's so incredible.
He's incredible.
He is.
Incredible.
Good people.
He's incredible.
Hey, from the bat mitzvah room to freaking out, Josh Allen. Hey,
from making,
you know,
making $400 at my brother-in-law's Christmas party 15 years ago to
not anymore.
Multiples of that.
Great to see you, Adam. Have a great draft. Love you, man. Thanks for coming on. That's Adam Schefter, the great Adam Schefter. And do you need a scoop on the Packers pick? Because look over your right shoulder. There he is. The general manager, Brian Gutekunst, of the host team of this draft, is live here in our studio in Green Bay. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show from the draft.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
What's up, everyone? It's Trevor Sikkema here from the PFF NFL Show, here to get you ready for the 2025 NFL Draft. We're dropping PFF podcast episodes 3 times a week with the rankings, sleepers, team fits, mock drafts, and more, powered by the same data used by all 32 NFL teams. If you want a deeper insight into this year's class and how it all shapes up on draft day, we've got you covered. Become a smarter draft fan right now on the PFF NFL Podcast. The PFF NFL Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Back here on the Roku Sports Channel, radio audience will join in 2 minutes' time. So the first of 2 times I welcome in the 10th general manager in the history of the Green Bay Packers. Kind enough to join us the day before the first ever draft here, modern-day draft here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Brian Gutekunst is here. Good to see you, man. How are you? Good to see you. Now, this may be an awkward way to start, but in my 22 years, in my 22 years of doing this, and I'm going to bring this up with LaFleur tomorrow when he's here. My 22 years of doing this, I've never seen a team's pick tipped at the airport before. Put this photograph up. This is right outside my gate. Your first round pick is hydration. Brian, I had no idea that hydration was available in this year's draft. Well, can you confirm if your first pick hydration?
I have tomorrow night off, I guess. You know what I mean? So is that good.
The board's set?
Yes.
No one's cramping? Hydration.
I had cards
no
already written.
That's a red flag. It's going water.
Especially up here in Green Bay.
I saw this. I come out of my gate. I see Matt LaFleur is smiling. His first round pick is hydration.
Yeah.
Did he pound the table for hydration, Brian? Is that the way it works here?
Yeah, I mean, our scouts pound the table for other kinds of hydration.
Something harder?
Yeah, not necessarily water.
Dude, but, that's so great. So your board's already set, in all honesty, right? Pretty much?
Yeah, we were talking a little bit. I think really we all should take a vacation on Friday night because it's kind of when we shut it down. And I think a lot of mistakes can be made over these last few days.
Last Friday night, you're saying, not this Friday night.
Last Friday night.
Right.
There's been a lot of work that's been put into it over time, and you can get to a point where you're overanalyzing some things. So
there's constant churning and grinding, correct, for this sort of thing?
Yeah, everybody does it a little bit different, but the way we've done it for a long time here is a number of phases, and it starts, quite frankly, right before the combine. And by this time, if you don't know them by now, you're just, that's usually an issue. But there's always some late information that'll come in, but very rarely does it change the draft board.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The 10th general manager in the history of the Green Bay Packers here on our show set in downtown Green Bay. Thrilled to have you, Brian Gutekunst, here on the program. I'll just say this to start as well. So my freshman year at the University of Michigan, 1986, okay? You know where I'm going with this?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. You guys don't know where I'm going with this. So it's freezing cold, it's raining, the Ohio State game is the next week, it's my first ever season, and the stadium is empty because it's raining, and who the hell's gonna think that Michigan's losing to Minnesota? Ricky Foggy, the quarterback, comes in, and yeah, you can look him up, man. He dominated that day and shocked Michigan the week before Ohio State. It was a trap game. We fell in the trap. Brian Gutekunst, who was the head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers that day?
A guy that used to ground me in high school quite a bit, my father, John. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Chip Lohmiller, a longtime NFL kicker, was the one who kicked the field goal to win it. Michigan was undefeated at the time, I think, and they was 9-0-1.
Right, and yeah. we were, again, I was a freshman in the stands. Yep. Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback, and it was a shocker.
Yeah, Jim brings it up to me every time I go through Michigan to scout when he was.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah, as soon as he hears my name, it's right back there. Yeah,
so. No kidding. I would, because it was a day, man. Yeah. I mean, and it was a trap game. Michigan fell straight in the trap. Yeah.
If you remember, you know, Bo Schembechler was the head coach at the time.
Of course.
I think they had, it was maybe 4th-and-2, and they could have gone for the touchdown to win the game very late in the game. They kicked the field goal because if they would have tied or won that game, they were Big Ten champs.
Right.
Right. And they kicked the field goal, and then Ricky scrambled and
they couldn't put him down on the ground.
Yeah. Darrell Thompson was a running back then, who was the first round pick by the Green Bay Packers back in the day. So, yeah, I was a teenager at the time, and I wasn't allowed to go to that game.
Why? Because it was in the Big House or something like that.
Yeah, it was just an away game, and I probably had stuff going on my own. But I remember coming back. I believe from it might have been a basketball practice, and I expected like it would go normally for Minnesota, Michigan, and to find out they won was fantastic. But I was not watching it at the time.
I'm a kid from New York City. It was my first ever version of this game, and I'm like, what is that big jug that Minnesota is just grabbing and holding up and just like flipping out over? And your dad was a coach that day.
That was his first season as a head coach.
Yeah, November 15th, 1986.
I remember it, and so does Jim Harbaugh, clearly. Yeah. Brian Gutekunst here on the Rich Eisen Show. So your first draft with the Packers was in the late 90s, pretty much?
Yeah, so I had interned in 97 right after they won the Super Bowl, and then worked in Kansas City with John Schneider and those guys for a year in 1998. Marty Schottenheimer's last year there.
Right.
And then came back with Ron Wolf. So my first real draft was 1999. That we went.
So Ron Wolf was the guy running the draft room, and Ted Thompson was in there too, obviously.
He was in there as well. John Dorsey, Reggie McKenzie, Scott McLuhan.
Jeez. You know,
so there was a lot of guys, and it was great. As a young scout, it couldn't have been a better situation to kind of learn and grow.
Okay, so just listen, I know you're not going to give me any specifics. You're 23rd overall in this clock, and your draft board is set. Do you already have people having called you in advance saying, hey, what would it take to move up if the board falls right now? Do you have those options already in your back pocket right now?
Yeah, there's definitely some of those calls, but it's usually like, you know, we're willing to come up. We might go back. You know, it's more of those conversations.
So what does that do you? Right.
I think it's just you're just kind of aware of maybe some of the teams that are really interested in coming up or the ones that are really interested in coming back. And then as I think over the next day and a half, before the thing gets going tomorrow, you'll have a better idea what it might cost to go up or down. So we'll see. Every year is a little bit different, but the process is kind of the same.
Well, I mean, you're in a spot, right, in between Pittsburgh and you're right in front of Minnesota.
Right. Yeah.
And clearly, you know, you're not drafting a quarterback in the first round. Okay. And you've been there. You've done it, man. So the Vikings aren't going to one either. And if certain players drop, you would be the spot to call. Certainly if people think Minnesota's going to trade out to go get it, they'd want to jump that line to you.
Right.
And is that something you utilize right now to basically call others at all to set things up?
I think if you're willing to go up or down, or you have a strong, you know, thought that you want to do it, you certainly want to let everybody know that that's what you're thinking.
Right.
I do think, you know, the quarterback thing is always changes things because it's going to be more expensive to come up to get a quarterback than it would be
something else
at times. Yeah.
So that's where the points chart, you throw that out the window because of the quarterback?
I think it just changes things slightly at times, depending on each quarterback class. And again, you don't really know when a lot of teams are coming up, what they're coming up for, but you may have an idea. And I certainly think that if it's a quarterback, it's usually in the top 10, but it usually costs a little bit more coming up for a quarterback.
So let's just say you're on the clock and you look down at your phone. Is it your phone that gets is it your cell phone that rings?
It's either mine or maybe a couple other guys in the room. Yeah.
Okay.
Working trades.
Have you ever been on the phone and you're talking trade with somebody and the call waiting goes off? And has that ever happened to you?
I had a good college buddy, kind of my, you know, one of the guys in my circle of guys that I went to college with. And, uh-huh. may have been had a few pops and kept calling me while we were on the clock. And
come on.
So every time we get together now, every time we get together now, all the other guys are like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, it always comes up. So, it's pretty easy just to dismiss it.
So you're on the clock and a drunk college buddy of yours is calling you up?
I'm not going to use his name. He'll probably be out
actually, you should out him. You should out him on the show.
Take a wide receiver, bro.
BG, what you doing, man?
Yeah, what's he doing? He's operating the draft for the Green Bay friggin'
Trade up for Genty.
Brian, could I ask you a question? Have you ever gotten a call, like Rich said, where a deal has been done and then you get another call and it's better than the one you just had?
That's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever had that. You know, I think there's been times where we've been dealing with multiple teams maybe trying to come up to our pick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like again, I usually you'd like to have those kinds of things done before it actually you're actually on the clock, you know, kind of a thought process of, hey, this is what it's going to be. But there's been times where maybe we had something and kind of agreed to, and then right as you get on the clock, somebody calls. And if that changes, then you just call the other team back and see if they're willing to do that or something better.
All in 10 minutes.
Yeah. And again, you know, there's a timing element too. You better have somebody to pick, right? Because if it doesn't go through, you know, you got to pick somebody.
And there's other people in the room who are hammering that down, or you've already hammered it down.
Usually,
like, you right now, Brian Gutekunst, you're sitting here day before the draft, you've got a short list of guys that you're definitely taking if they're on the draft board.
Yeah, again, you don't.
Unless somebody blows you away.
Right, it's kind of like that. I think you always have to have somebody to pick. And then if the board kind of tells you it's maybe best to move back, then you try to do that if you can. But, you know, that's uncontrollable. You can't control that. You have to have somebody willing to come up. I think, you know, you've done enough work now. You kind of, you know, you know that unless somebody falls that you're not expecting to fall, that there's a group of guys that may be in that wheelhouse and you're ready to go.
Is the points chart, again, this chart where each draft choice has an associated amount of points allotted to it, and that gives you a general sense of whether a trade you've been offered or you're making is fair. Is that gospel amongst you and the 31 other colleagues you have in the NFL?
No, I think everybody's got multiple charts that they use. We do. We have, you know, kind of the Jimmy Johnson and one that was, you know, we call it the Jimmy Johnson revised one, and we have a one that we use internally that's kind of an analytics chart that our guys have come up with.
Uh-huh.
And they're really just guides. They're kind of guides to give you an idea of whether this is kind of a fair trade or not. And but at the end of the day, and I always go back to the story of Clay Matthews, you know, we drafted B.J. Raji. Ted Thompson drafted B.J. Raji in the top 10, and he wanted to get back into the top of the first round or the back of the first round to get Clay.
Yes.
And I think it was John Schneider and Reggie McKenzie and John. Those guys were working the phones at the time trying to get a deal done, and there were a lot of opportunities to go up and get him, but our guys felt it was just too much. And Ted kept saying, well, it's about the player. That's what matters to me. I want this player.
Mm-hmm.
So I think every situation is different, and it's those charts are a guide to give you an idea of maybe what it should cost. But at the end of the day, I think you got to make the decision on based on the player.
Brian Gutekunst here, the general manager of the Packers, day before the draft here in Green Bay. I was asking about plans that you have already mapped out. Do you already have a trade with the Jets for Jordan Love 10 years from now? Do you already have what you're gonna?
Yeah,
you're gonna extract from the Jets.
Me or somebody else, maybe. Yeah.
Just wondering.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because I mean, it is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly if Rodgers wound up in Minnesota too, like it's like, really, is this the way it has to go? Like,
it's remarkably eerie.
How do you take in what's going on with Rodgers right now? Obviously, I assume you guys haven't spoken since he's left.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering how your perspective of what is happening with Rodgers since he's left Green Bay.
Yeah, I really like the chair I'm sitting in now and viewing it from that chair than the one I was before. But, you know, he was a great, great player here. And there's so much appreciation for him from our organization, from myself, for what he did here. You know, I just think, you're kind of rooting from him from afar to, you know, keep playing because he's such a great talent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's had a long, really, really good career, and if he decides to hang it up, then, you know, I think that's pretty good 20 some years.
Because you do see the Steelers this year. I mean, it's entirely possible.
Sure.
You know, that game actually happens, and I've little birdies, multiple have told me it's not in the United States, that game.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm just generally managing things. Although I did get a date for the schedule release that I've gotten. Have you gotten it?
I haven't.
Okay, no. I can.
Mark hasn't shared that with me yet.
I can help you with that.
Brian's been busy.
No.
Yeah.
No, I can give this man information here. So what are you willing to tell Packers fans who are curious about what's going to happen with this team on the 23rd overall pick? What do you got? What are you willing to share that you can?
Yeah, really. Really nothing. I think it's one of those things, I think, and it's so unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's a good draft class, and I think certainly where we're picking, I think there's going to be a really good player that's going to help our football team. And I think we're really focused on making sure we've got a good young team. We're really excited about it, and we're really excited to add, not only a really good player, but a culture guy as well.
So what's your takeaway from last season? Obviously, the year before, there was kind of a shock and awe that your team had arrived perhaps sooner than people expected, made the playoffs again. Nobody beat the Eagles in last year's playoffs, as we know. So what's your general sense of a takeaway from that going into this season, Brian?
Yeah, I think we're growing. We lost our last three games, right? I think that's a tough pill to swallow. I don't think we can get very far away from that and understand that we got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like our group, and I think they're eager, and I think they're all kind of entering a phase where they're going to be playing their best football. So I think we're really excited about that.
Okay. Yeah. And what's before I let you go, again, I don't know whose idea it was, but it came and was forwarded to the membership of the National Football League. That mixed amongst a whole bunch of other rules changes, the tush push should be removed from the game, and that was forwarded by the Green Bay Packers. Why did the team forward that to the membership?
I think organizationally, I know Mark feels this way, and I think we all do, is the fact that, and the medical experts within the league feel that this is a very dangerous play that could have catastrophic injury, that's a very logical conclusion. And it's probably something that needs to be taken out. And so I think they're looking at the way to word the rule so that it makes sense for everybody, and I think they'll get that done soon.
Okay, so you think that the tush push, based on how we see it, in 2025 will not be a play anymore?
I would think so, because I just think it's really dangerous for our players. They've done so much for health and safety, and I think this is important.
So what would you say to somebody who says, well, you're taking one for the teams that can't stop this play?
It's a very effective play. We've used it to a certain degree.
Yes.
With Tucker Kraft, so it's a very effective play. Just because it's effective and we haven't stopped it, nobody else has either.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not dangerous. And I think that's, I think from my end of it, that's how I see it. And I think organizationally we do too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, man, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. So what's the rest of your day? Like, walk me through what does a general manager in the draft do?
Not a lot today. Just take some phone calls the rest of the day, and then try to get home, see my family a little bit. And,
okay.
Hopefully a little bit of 15-year-old baseball, and then
what do you mean?
Get ready tomorrow.
But by the way, the weather's supposed to clear.
Yeah.
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 So
we'll see if the field's clear.
Are you coaching?
No. Just watching my son.
Okay, you are.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. You're not a helicopter dad, are you?
No.
Okay.
No,
just trying to figure all that stuff out. Thanks for coming in, man.
Yes,
I really appreciate you taking the time here and giving us some insight on what it's like to be a GM for a draft. And folks, you're pumped, man.
Yeah, welcome. It's really cool to see everybody.
They're pumped to see this draft here. They're really jacked up, and it's pretty cool. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, man.
Brian Gutekunst here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's Matthew Golden of Texas Football right there on the green room or purple couch right here. Coming up next, is he going to be the first wide receiver taken in the draft? Matthew Golden next on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Get timeless inspiration from the very best of The Sean Ryan Show.
What do you think of working with the SEALs?
We went out every night going after bad guys. I was humbled.
There was no going back home.
I would be in another room crying because I was afraid to go to sleep because of what was coming for me in the middle of the night.
How long did it take you to be able to talk about it?
Long time. But I realized my experiences may help other people too.
The men like yourself are considered legends in the community.
You're right.
The Sean Ryan Show Peak Points. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Our radio audience will rejoin in just a couple minutes' time, but just a quick introduction here of one of the top wide receivers in the draft, if not the guy that a lot of people think is going to be the first wide receiver to hear his name called tomorrow night here in Green Bay, Matthew Golden of Football. Good to see you, sir. Yes, you should applaud for yourself.
Absolutely, no doubt.
You should applaud. Good to see you.
Thank you, man.
Who's here with you?
My grandma, mom, uncle, girlfriend, my two cousins.
So six family members? You're yes, plus
sir.
Six?
Yes, sir.
In the green room yep. tomorrow night? What's going through your mind right now?
No, definitely a lot of emotions.
Walk me through them. What's the first one that leaps to mind, Matthew Golden?
You know, just knowing everything I've been through to get here. You know, it wasn't easy. You know, just thinking back on everything I went through, you know, the adversity that I faced. I mean, it's just remarkable. You know, it's a great feeling. I feel like, you know, I went through everything I did for a reason. And, you know, now it got me here. So just being excited, you know, I'm happy to be here.
For those who might not be familiar with your story, what are you referring to? Things that that were adverse yeah. for you to succeed?
You know, definitely growing up, me and my mom, you know, struggled a lot. We stayed in hotels when I was younger. And, you know, that was kind of hard for me, you know. At times, we couldn't pay for rooms. We had to stay in front of Walmart in Brenham, Texas. And at that time, you know, a friend reached out to me, you know, gave me his hand. And I ended up moving in with him 3 years of high school. And then I ended up I called him my uncle, you know, his name Kevin Johnson. You know, I ended up meeting him. And he played a big role, you know, in my success through high school and college. And from there, you know, it just kind of went on. And, you know, I got granted the opportunity to play at the next level, and I just took it from there.
So, I mean, let's go here, if you don't mind. That kid that was standing in front of you said Walmart?
Yes, sir.
What would that kid think if we told him, hey, you're going to be drafted in the National Football League. You're going to be at a draft in yeah. Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're going to hear your name called from the commissioner of the NFL.
Definitely an unbelievable feeling. You know, something I can't explain. Like, the feeling is just, it's just crazy, you know, because a lot of people would have gave up. A lot of people couldn't make it through what I went through. Mm-hmm. And I just think back to that all the time, you know, whenever I do play football, you know, I try to just think back to that, those times that, you know, I struggled in and I wanted to give up. People doubted me, you know, didn't think I was going to make it here. You know, I always had my people around me. And just to be here, you know, it mean a lot to me.
So are you thinking that? Like, say, fourth down, game on the line, and a bowl game, season's yeah. on the line, you're thinking that?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, really?
Yeah, win or go home. And I know, you know, my team, our team, we weren't ready to go home. And, you know, granted, we got the 12 playoff bracket. You know, it gave a lot of us, you know, more opportunities to showcase what we could do. And, you know, I feel like a lot of us, you know, benefited a lot from that.
Mm. Pretty cool, man. It is an amazing story, and I'm glad that you're, you know, willing to share that.
Yes, sir.
You know, because it is a journey for so many people, and it's awesome that. So you mentioned your uncle Kevin Johnson. Is that who's going to be in the green room with you?
Yes, sir.
And your mom?
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about, man. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network with our Roku channel stream, we've got Matthew Golden of Texas Football here on the Rich Eisen Show. Who have you met with in person? Oh, by the way, when Brian Gutekunst left the set and yeah. you saw him, yeah. I saw a dapping up that mm-hmm. makes me think it's not the first time you've met Brian.
it's definitely not my first time. Yeah, it's definitely not my first time meeting with him. I had a meeting with him 2 weeks ago. And, you know, got around the coaching staff, you know, the organization. You know, they did a tremendous job up there. You know, you could tell the culture there is different. You know, I met a lot of the guys and, you know, felt like home to me.
Did you visit here? So this is not your first yeah. trip to Green Bay,
yeah,
as a matter of fact.
It's not my first trip.
Okay. So they brought you in. Who else have you personally visited throughout this process?
I met with Houston, Pittsburgh. Broncos.
Okay.
Detroit. There's a couple other teams, too.
Okay. Any teams in the top 10?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. You don't have to be coy about it anymore, man. Like, this, I think the hay's in the barn, Matthew Golden. Like, yeah. this is it now, yes, right? So, screw it. I'll just ask directly. There's a 12th overall pick belonging to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of Texas Longhorn fans would be, you know, if we just crossed their desires, they would be pretty pumped if you, a Texas Longhorn, went there. Have you personally visited with the Dallas Cowboys?
I have, yes, sir.
Hey. All right. Have you met Jerry Jones?
Yes, sir.
Oh. What was that about?
It was cool, man. He actually FaceTimed my mom off of my phone, you know, just told her she did a great job raising me. You know, just congratulated her for, you know, the hard work she put in to raise me the right way. You know, it was a cool experience for me.
So you're meeting with him, and he's like, grab your phone, let's FaceTime mom.
Yeah.
He suggested it.
Just like that. Yeah, just like that.
Oh. And so did you know your mom was going to answer?
I knew she was going to answer. But okay. It was my mom pretty busy throughout the day, so I knew she was going to be busy. She answered, and she was surprised, like, you know.
Oh, it wasn't you and say, oh, somebody wants to meet you. It was him.
This is what I said. I say, mom, I got a surprise for you. Get the phone. I call him Coach Jerry. That's what I call him. So I said, get the phone to Coach Jerry. And, you know, he was talking to her for a good 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes.
And we have a photo of, was it at this meeting? Is that where the FaceTiming happened? Yeah, with that man, yeah, as you refer to
him? Yeah, that's where it happened. That's where it happened.
What would it mean to you if you're, listen, I know you're going to be happy wherever you go, but so, the Dallas Cowboys take you. What would that mean? That you star on the side of your helmet, CeeDee Lamb would be across the field, yeah, from you, Dak's throwing you the football, right?
Yeah.
100,000 fans and in the Jones Mahal, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
That sound good to you?
Yeah, it sound real good to me. I'm from Texas, so grew up a Houston Texan fan, Dallas Cowboy fan. You know, I watched a lot of them growing up, so, you know, for that to happen, you know, it'd mean a lot to me. It'd be cool. It'd be a blessing for sure.
Okay. I've got Matthew Golden here on the Rich Eisen Show. Have you hung out with McConaughey before? Matthew McConaughey?
Mm-mm.
No.
I haven't. I seen him, though. Kidding. I seen him sideline. You know, I talked to him.
He didn't high-five you or anything like that?
No, he did.
I was just wondering. I mean, you've had some pretty big moments to make this man very happy.
Yes, sir.
So you've just high-fived him. You've never really sat and talked to him pretty much.
Talked to him a couple of times.
Okay.
Cool. That's who he is. He cool, man. I could, you know, his energy that he bring on the sidelines for us is crazy. You would think he on the team. You know? Wait.
Well, I mean, in the world of NIL, he might. Yeah. You know, I don't know. But he's the minister of, what is he? The minister
culture?
Of
culture.
Culture.
Minister of culture.
Right? Minister of culture of Texas football. What did you learn through Sark and being with Texas football? Yeah. How have you become a different receiver through this entire process?
Definitely, you know, the type of offense that we played in, pro-style offense, you know, it's a lot of attention to details. And going to that offense, you know, transitioning from Houston to Texas, it was different for me. And, you know, once I got there, you know, I started meeting with Coach Sark and the coaching staff they had up there, and the offense started clicking. For me, you know, in that offense, you know, your route, it can change depending on what the coverage is, and you got to do that, like quick. So, you know, just adjusting to that and being around them, just a lot of details in that offense that definitely helped me elevate my game all around.
Mm-hmm. And let's pound the table for a couple of quarterbacks here, because, you know, again, not that what we say or what we talk about in the media is gospel, but you don't hear Quinn Ewers' name very much. Mm-hmm. You do hear, you know, Tyler Shuck could be the third quarterback or fourth quarterback taken. Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, obviously very talented quarterbacks. I'm just naming a few. And Quinn Ewers in this mix. What would you want people to know about Quinn prior to this draft?
Definitely a dog. Leader on and off the field. You know, someone you could trust. And someone you know what you're going to get out of him each day. You know, me and Quinn built the relationship when I first got to Austin. He took me out. We went to a barbecue spot. And, you know, I just got to know him on and off the field. But for me, you know, I was connecting with Quinn on and off the field. You know, I feel like any team that gets him, you know, you're getting a very talented quarterback. You know, for me, I would say, that's me being biased, I'm going to say he the best quarterback because I watched him and I played with him, practice with him every day. You know, the way he throw the ball is just different, but, you know, you're getting somebody you can depend on each day.
Walk me through that fourth down against Arizona State.
So Quinn checked the protection for the old lineman. Well, we knew they were sending a blitz. And the play that we had, Coach Sark called it, and I can't get a play up because, you know, we still going to run this play later down the line. But,
well, you're not running it for Texas.
No, I'm not, but they still going to run it. So
okay.
I don't want to give it away.
Understood.
The slot has a, you know, he got a route to where he could bring that safety down or break out. And I had a big post. So I knew they was playing cover three, and that middle field safety was too far down. So once I beat the outside safety and I kept the post skinny, I knew it was a touchdown.
Is this the stuff you get asked about on the grease board in these meetings?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's pretty much, we just mirrored in a way what you've been talking about with teams. Walk us through the play, walk us through the moment, walk us through, because that's it. I mean, that's the stuff that you dream of, to be involved in a touchdown like that, you know? And then, you know, the next guy, Arch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my friend TJ Jefferson across the way wants me to ask this question because he has an Arch Manning card.
Cards.
That he's hoping allows him to retire, although not soon enough. I mean, we still have lots of Rich Eisen show.
It's the boat more than retirement.
How good is he?
Definitely. I say one of them ones. And what that means is he one of one. You know, I feel like for him, the sky's the limit for him. And, you know, it's his team now. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. You know, he got the talent, athleticism. He got everything that you want in a quarterback.
And so you think everything's going to be in excellent hands. And what is he like as a obviously he's got a last name that precedes him. What's he like to be around?
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, he's very humble, hardworking. And, you know, what I notice about him is he don't care about his last name. You know, he act like he's just a regular guy. And, he come in and compete. You know, it's not a day that I've ever seen Arch come in and not want to work or get better at his craft. And that's just how he handles himself. And for me, you know, just watching them grow. I've been in college for 3 years, and, you know, seeing a freshman quarterback like that with that much talent, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
I wish the best of luck to you, Matthew Golden.
Appreciate you.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow is going to be a wild day.
Yep.
You know, I mean, everything going through your head, we just heard about your journey, and the journey as a – lot to go after tomorrow, but tomorrow's a culmination of a lot that you've clearly earned and deserve. And I hope you do hear your name first as a wide receiver.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night. A lot of people think that is going to happen.
Yes, sir.
So I wish you congratulations on that front. That's Matthew Golden, Texas. Tom Pelissero, my colleague from NFL Network, is next. We're still here. Got a couple more minutes left on the Roku channel, so I will ask you the question I've asked every prospect that's come on this program, and I appreciate you doing so. A team drafts Matthew Golden. Who will they get? What will they get in you?
You're definitely getting a complete receiver. You know, somebody that could dominate inside, outside, get open anywhere on the field. But, you know, I always got something to prove. You know, wherever I do go, you know, I'm attacking that with a chip on my shoulder. You know, you're going to get the best version of me. Like I said, you know, I got the confidence in myself. You know, wherever I do go, whatever the team needs me to do, that's what I'm willing to do.
The fit is all set, I imagine, as well, for tomorrow night?
Yeah.
You want a preview? What do we got?
It's going to be black and gold.
Okay.
Black and gold.
All right. You know, that's Steelers colors.
Saints?
Yep.
That's true, too?
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be ninth overall. That would be a pretty good night for you.
I wish the suit was blue and white, though.
He said blue and white.
He's a Dallas Cowboy.
Gotcha.
I mean, could you imagine if he's right and your Arch Manning card causes you to retire and then you can watch him win championships for your Dallas Cowboys?
Well, I love this job too much to retire. Okay. I just want to buy a boat. That's all I want.
Okay. He said he wants to buy a boat.
He wants to buy a boat with his Arch Manning cards.
Stupid.
I might do the same thing if I was you, too.
See, he's giving me hope now.
Who are you wearing tomorrow night? You want to at least throw that out there?
Who?
Like, who's making your fit tomorrow night? You want to give a shout out to somebody?
Shout out to my guy, Ethan.
Ethan?
Yeah, his name Ethan. So, met him in Indianapolis.
Okay.
I went to the combine, and he showed me some stuff that I liked.
So you met him at the combine, and he showed you stuff that you liked, and you picked something out that you'll be wearing tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know, man. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on here. I greatly appreciate it. Dallas Cowboys have met with this man.
All right. You know, he got real coy when you brought up meeting, which tells me that.
Jerry, what do you mean? He FaceTimed his mom.
FaceTimed. No, I'm saying, but not coy, but like there was a look on his face like he knows more than he's letting on about the Cowboys.
No. By the way, let's not talk about Matthew as if he's not sitting here right now. But I understand, like, you don't want to, like, you're this close. Let's not say anything that blows anything, and I totally understand that. But like I said, you know, you're hearing so many wide receivers' names, and yours is the first one that we hear being called tomorrow night, which would be pretty, like, it's, I imagine that's something that would be like a badge for you, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's something I put up on my mirror since I was a freshman. And I always set a standard for myself that I want to reach each year. And then my last goal, you know, I told myself I wanted to be 3-and-done. You know, now it's happening. Well, I had a great year at Texas, and now I got the opportunity to be first receiver off the board.
Matthew Golden, everybody. Hour 3, Tom Pelissero coming up.
NBA veteran Jim Jackson takes you on the court.
You get a chance to dig into my 14-year career in the NBA, but also get the input from the people that will be joining, Charles Barkley.
I'm excited to be on your podcast, man. It's an honor.
Spike Lee, entrepreneur, filmmaker, Academy Award winner.
Knicks fan.
So, now, you see, I got you. But also how sports brings life, passion, music, all of this together.
The Jim Jackson Show, part of the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.